The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither knows him nor neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you in a little while. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Before I could be ordained deacon, I had to appear with my wife Donna before the Deacon Review Board. And on the board was my good friend Father Robert Pankey and Monsignor Fisher, who oversees the clergy in the Archdiocese. And in the course of the examination, Monsignor Fisher said, "You know, there is a question of obedience. You may not get your home parish as your assignment." And I responded, "Well, that would be unlikely anyway, since Donna had asked that I request St. Patrick's, and I had done so." And at that, Father Pankey blurted out, "He's obedient to his wife. I'm loving it." And just to show that God has more gifts for us than we can ask or imagine, I didn't get St. Patrick's either. He gave me Holy Cross. In today's Gospel from John, indeed, throughout all the Gospels, Jesus focuses on God's desire for obedience. In the Old Testament, first book of Samuel, we read, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." And Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the ultimate, a supreme act of obedience. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done." For John, obedience is conjoined with love. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me." The two go hand in hand, and they cannot be separated. If I say I love God, but I refuse to obey him, I'm lying. I'm lying to others, I'm lying to myself, lying to God. So let's consider this obligation that we to obey, which love binds on us. What are we supposed to obey, and what are the consequences if we do not obey? Well, Jesus told us, "Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And likewise, love your neighbor as yourself." To be obedient is to do these things, to heed these commandments. And in these two commandments is wrapped up the whole of the Ten Commandments. A refusal to obey the commandments is a refusal to love. And as we all know, a refusal to love is the very definition of sin. Sin is not merely the transgression of some rule. It is first and foremost a refusal to love. Jesus teaches us, "You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin." Why? It's because to be angry with your brother, even without killing him, is a refusal to love. It's a sin. Now, with that understanding, let's put aside for a moment
the first question, what are we supposed to obey? And take up the second question, what are the consequences if we do not obey? We all learned in our religious formation that some sins are more serious than others. Indeed, some are referred to as mortal sins. John calls them deadly sins. And these sins are gravely evil, which we freely and in full knowledge consent to commit. The church tells us that such action on our part is so serious that it severs our relationship with God. When you consider the link between obedience and love, doesn't it make sense then that such a serious act of disobedience towards God amounts to an act of hatred towards God? And it's not just some minor lapse on our part. We all do that. But it's a deliberate repudiation of our love for God. The church also teaches that to die unrepentant of a mortal sin condemns the sinner to eternal separation from God, which we call hell. Now remember, hell is not God saying, well, you were mean to me for a little while, but I'm going to punish you forever. No, it's the sinner, when confronted with infinite love, which he has rejected, chooses separation from God rather than enduring the unimaginable pain of remaining in God's presence, still unrepentant. As the great Christian writer C.S. Lewis observed, the gates of hell are locked from the inside. Any creature that is not perfect cannot be happy in God's presence. That's why the existence of purgatory makes so much sense. It allows those who love God but aren't perfect to achieve perfection and be happy forever in God's presence. The problem is, those who deliberately reject God in mortal sin and refuse to repent cannot be made perfect in purgatory. And it's not because purgatory doesn't work, it's because they do not want to be made perfect. Hell is a state which God permits them to remain as they wish. Now let's return to the first question. What are we to obey? Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that man is obliged to follow the moral law, which urges him to do what is good and to avoid what is evil. And this law makes itself heard in his conscience. Now, what it does not mean is that our conscience is free to make up its own moral law. Rather, we're obliged to allow our conscience to be formed by God through His church. And this formation is often communicated to us first by our parents who teach us right from wrong. And then through a religious education and through our pastors and others who teach in accordance with the church. So, for instance, the church teaches us that we cannot cheat workers out of their wages. Now, if our conscience tells us that it's okay to shortchange our workers, then we're duty-bound to change our conscience to conform to the teaching of the church. The church teaches the moral law, God's standard of behavior. And it schools us in our obligations to love God and to love our neighbor. You recall that Jesus, speaking to the apostles, said, "He who hears you hears me." It is the church that is empowered to establish the rules. It is not we who are empowered to decide the rules for ourselves. The church's duty is not only to help us become better Christians, but to safeguard our salvation. and to prevent us from squandering the greatest of gifts, eternal life with God. For example, the church requires that we comply with 6 precepts. These represent the minimum. The first is, you shall attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. The Catechism clarifies this for us. Those who deliberately fail in this obligation commit a grave sin. So I get up on Sunday morning and I say, yeah, I don't feel like going to Mass today. I'd rather just sit and read the paper. Maybe I'll go down to Nationals Park this afternoon and see a ball game. Well, we know that the church has told us that this is a grave sin. And once we know that that is the church's teaching, it's very unlikely that our conscience is going to allow us to forget it. So we know that what God has told us, commanded us to do, and that is to attend Mass. And we still deliberately blow him off? Is that love? Love is putting God first. We are to do God's will. We are not to try to get him to do our will. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. And at one point, one of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln responded, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." I repeat, love is not asking God to conform to our wishes, but us being obedient to his wishes. Jesus didn't say, "Father, I don't want to do this. Please change your mind." He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." We go to Mass because love demands that we obey God. Unless we think that we can love God on our terms and not his, listen to St. Thomas Aquinas. Obedience unites us so closely to God that in a way transforms us into him, and so that we have no other will but his. And he goes on to say, if obedience is lacking, not even prayer cannot be pleasing to God. We don't have time to discuss all the precepts of the church. Now, I will just list them for you very quickly. The first one we already listed was to attend Mass on Sunday. You shall confess your sins at least once a year. You shall humbly receive your Creator in Holy Communion, at least during the Easter season. You shall keep holy the holy days of obligation. You shall observe the prescribed days of fasting and abstinence. And you have the duty to provide for the material needs of the church, each according to his abilities. And by the church is meant not just upkeep the buildings and things like that, but the support of the priests, and also, very importantly, the support of the poor in our parish. If you go back and reflect on these precepts, which you can find in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it's easy to understand how the church is guiding us as a loving parent to follow the path the Lord desires for us to follow into eternal life with him and all the angels and saints. And often we reflect on the love of God that's reflected in the angels and the saints in heaven. But what is the one common thread that binds together all the angels and saints? It's obedience. They were all obedient to God. The angels that decided to make up their own rules, Jesus tells us, fell like lightning from the heaven. And the men who decided to make up their own rules were expelled from Eden. The angels and saints that practiced obedience to God are the ones who shine in heaven, reflecting the perfection and glory of God for all eternity. So my brothers and sisters, let's remember the words of St. Padre Pio, who observed, quoting Jesus, "I have come into this world to do the will of my Father who sent me." And he goes on to say, Where there is no obedience, there is no virtue. Where there is no virtue, there is no good. Where good is wanting, there is no love, there is no God. And where God is not, there is no heaven. Live, Jesus.